Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I ask you to open your Bibles to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, real help for real people. I know that these graduates are real people. They've worked hard. I'm hoping and praying that I can be an encouragement, that we can be an encouragement to them. I want to say to them that all throughout history, God has used people who thought, you know, I'm an ordinary person. I just have lived my life. Now I'm coming to a different stage of my life where I'm moving on to more mature type living, and I'm perhaps going off to college or starting a career, and things are going to change a little bit, and you think, well, I'm just an ordinary person. The world is full of ordinary people who impacted so many for the cause of Christ, and I want to encourage you today and say to our graduates, you can do anything that God calls you to do with His strength and with His power. Would you not agree with me on that, church family, for these graduates today? And today, I just want to say this, real help for real people. You know, the book of Psalms is an amazing book. It highlights the fact that we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, but we also live in a world horizontally related to one another. So there's two dimensions to life. We live in a world where two dimensions operate. And this is on your listening guide. If you've got your bulletin, on the very back, there's a listening guide for today's for the sermon today. The temporal or the horizontal world and the transcendent or the vertical world. The Psalms give us reason to praise God, but don't deny the challenges that we face on this earth. So I want to encourage our graduates, and I'm hoping that it will be an encouragement to each of us. I want to talk about the importance of hanging out with the people of God. I want to encourage our graduates to have such a relationship with Jesus. I want to encourage our congregation to have such a relationship with Jesus that worshiping Him is natural. It's not something that we only did because our moms and dads brought us to church, and maybe I heard one guy said, I had a drug problem growing up. I was drugged to church every Sunday. You know, I don't want us thinking that we worship just but because of guilt or we worship at all for any reason because of guilt. We worship because of our great God and because of the relationship we have with Him. And it's interesting that today we're looking at the pilgrimage psalms. These are psalms that as people came to worship, they would sing them. They were sung by pilgrims traveling to Jerusalem for the annual feast. Now, the three feasts that I'd like to highlight were the Passover feast, celebrated the night in which in Egypt when God's death angel passed over the firstborn of the Israelites who were in houses marked by blood. You find that in Exodus chapter 11. And then there is the Feast of Weeks, also known as Pentecost, when they celebrated 7 weeks or 50 days after the Passover. It was essentially a harvest celebration. You find that in Exodus chapter 34. And then there was the Feast of Tabernacles, also called the Feast of Ingathering. It lasted 7 days. The people spent these days dwelling in temporary booths. This reminded them of their fathers who dwelt in such booths during the years of wilderness wandering. It also celebrated the settlement of their fathers in a land which they could plant crops and enjoy the fruit of the earth. That's found in Exodus chapter 23 and some other scriptures. But I want to say that as these Old Testament followers of the Lord would go to the temple, they would sing these pilgrimage psalms. These are great reminders of how important it is to worship. And I want to encourage you, church family, you're obviously here today to worship the Lord. And so in some ways I'm preaching to the choir, but we need it to be reinforced in our lives, the importance of worship. Kind of translated into the New Testament, the passage reminds us of the importance of worshiping in a congregation, a local body of believers, a place where we live in community with one another, like a family. North Central Baptist Church is like a family. God has put us together. We know and love one another. And that's one of the reasons that we have a day such as this, as we've watched these young people grow up. We've seen them mature. We know their moms and dads, and we're thankful and grateful for them. I want to encourage you to want to hang out with the people of God in your life, all the days of your life. I want to talk to you today about the importance of worship. In Hebrews, in the New Testament, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So, most see Zion in the Psalms, and many of these pilgrimage Psalms talk about Zion. They talk about Jerusalem, and we're headed up to Jerusalem. Most see Zion as a picture of the New Testament church. And I just want to say to our graduates, you have been brought up by parents who valued your involvement in the local church. And you're here in many ways because the Lord has brought you here through the influence of mom and dad. And we're very thankful that you are here. And one day, as a matter of fact, one of the pilgrimage psalms, the scholars think that this was a middle-aged man who wrote that psalm. It's not the one we're going to look at today, but it's one of the other pilgrimage psalms. And he woke up in the middle of the night and looked out at Jerusalem, and he thought, wow, I have been so blessed. I have taken for granted the fact that I have Zion, that I have my relationship with God. And he wrote that great Psalm 43, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. And he talks about the importance of worship. So today I want us to think about the importance of worship, hanging out with the people of God. Now let me read this passage of scripture. You follow along in your copy and I'll read from mine. This is Psalm 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca and make it a spring, the rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Verse 9, O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I love this verse. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Three quick thoughts that I want us to have as we think about hanging out with the people of God. Number one, long to worship. Students, church family, we should long to worship the living God. It says, how lovely is your tabernacle. The word lovely means beloved. It means, as I think about it, my love and longing deepens for worship. And then it says, my soul longs, in verse 2, to yearn. Yes, it even faints. The word faint there means to complete. In other words, when I evaluate worshiping the Lord, it's over. I need to worship. In other words, I'm fainting just thinking. My heart longs to worship, it even faints. In other words, it's a done deal. It's over with. It's complete. I have to worship the living God. And then it says, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Then it says, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself. The psalmist is thinking, I envy these birds. These birds get to live in the tabernacle. They're flying around. I don't think we have birds in the church here, but we have had one in here before. Not during a service. That makes an interesting service when you're in a church service when a bird's flying around, I can promise you. I've seen that happen. But the psalmist is saying, you know, in the tabernacle of God, in the temple of God, even the birds have found a home, and I envy those birds. In other words, to bring it into the New Testament, I envy everyone who is worshiping the Lord. You see, the sparrow is a common emblem for worthlessness. Sometimes people feel worthless, and the psalmist is saying, you know, even those find refuge in the place of God. It says, and the swallow is a common symbol for restlessness. The sparrow, a common emblem for worthlessness. A swallow, a common symbol for restlessness. And the house of God ministers to both of them. In verse 3, he says, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. He's jealous of the priests who live there. And he just has such a longing for worship. And then he says, Selah. Now we learned several weeks back the word Selah is almost like the psalmist stops and he says, there. What do you think of that? It's an emphasis, it's a pause to make us think about the passage that we have just read. So he's talking about his longing. We worship the Lord, congregation. Listen, this is important. We don't worship just because we've always done it. Amen? We don't worship. Now, some of us have always done it, but we don't worship strictly because of that. We don't worship because we've been guilted into it. We don't worship necessarily because somebody's always pestering us to come to church or in that way. We worship because of his greatness. We worship, notice in verse 1 it says, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. That means the hosts of all the heavenly beings. God is the creator of this whole universe. He's the creator of the stars. He spoke the stars in place. He created you. All of the things you've learned, all of the study that you will do, the intricacies of science, all of that was orchestrated and ordained by the Lord. And so we long to worship. We long to worship because of his greatness. That ought to be the reason we are driven to worship. Worshiping individually in our own Christian life, but also worshiping corporately at church. It should be because we cannot wait to get there to worship our God who is worthy to be praised. I heard a story of a pastor who had a guy in his church. He said, you know, I just can't come to church. He said, man, those seats are so uncomfortable. And I just can't take it. You know, I can't sit in those seats that long. You know, I can't sit there for an hour. And so one day that pastor was driving by and he looked through the window of a kind of a game room area, like a pool hall thing. And he saw that man sitting there at that pool hall. About 3 hours later, he drove by and the guy was still there. So he said, man, I wonder what kind of seats they have in there. So he went in there and he looked in there and the man was sitting in church pews they had gotten for the pool hall. Listen, we make every excuse in our life not to worship. And I'm not talking about necessarily coming to church, although it's a part of it. But I think about the things, the excuses we give. And by the way, thinking about those seats, I remember many times, whether it be the Gators or whether it be high school football, you go and you get into an assigned seat. I remember I have a friend who called me one time and he said, hey, I've got really, really good seats to the Gator games. I love going to the Gator games and every once in a while I get an opportunity to go. Well, this guy called me and said, I got really good seats in the alumni section. Now some of y'all, you know, we got a lot of Gator fans here. You know, I are one myself, and you some of you have seats you sit in all the time. But the alumni section on that in those west stands right there in the middle, there are some that have been sitting in those seats for 50 or 60 years. Well, I don't know if you've been in that section. Now, I like it under on the side where they have those individual seats, you know, where you have a back to it and everything. But I remember going into this one section, and I mean, they had a place, seat number 15 is marked out about that big. And I mean, man, you sat in there, you were wall to wall with people, and it was hot, and we were screaming our heads off for the Gators. And I thought about, you know, wow, what kind of sacrifices do we make to do the things we really want to do? And I just say, in all of our lives, to make that sacrifice in personal worship, getting up early to spend time with the Lord, taking time each day to spend with the Lord, and then taking time to worship the Lord corporately. That's very, very important. We have all kinds of excuses for why we don't worship, but the Lord calls us to long for Him in worship. You know, the bottom line is, our longing for worship is in direct correlation with our vision of how great our God is. You know, the great hymn, "How Great Thou Art," probably one of the, in the top five. As a pastor, when I ask people, what are your favorite hymns? "How Great Thou Art" is definitely mentioned, probably in the top three or four, maybe five. "How Great Thou Art." I love that verse. It says, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee." Why is it that the hymn writer cries out, "Then sings my soul, my Savior"? Well, he's evaluated the greatness of God. And ladies and gentlemen, we long for worship because we have a vision of a great God. I want to encourage these graduates, and I want to encourage you today to get a vision of who God is. Can I say this to you? Can you believe the God of the universe, who created this world, wants to have a relationship with you? He wants to have a relationship with me. So far, does he, so much of his desire to have a relationship with us that he sent his only son to die on the cross that we might be saved. And so we have that longing. So I want to say this. You should long for worship. Number two, you should grow in worship. Verses 5 through 8 talk about someone who's on a pilgrimage. Look at the end of verse 5. Whose heart is set on pilgrimage. It says at the beginning of verse 5, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." Every time it's time to go back up to worship, he's getting strength. It says in verse 6, "As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools." And then verse 7, "They go from strength to strength." It's a picture of growing in worship. He notices others at the beginning of that verse 5. "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you." I've noticed those around me who are blessed. Their strength is in you. And so he notices others. He notices in verse 7, "They go from strength to strength." It's as if one who is in that pilgrimage gives strength for the valley of Baca. Now, Baca was a barren place they had to go through to get up to Jerusalem. So it kind of represents difficult times. It represents problems. It represents the difficulties of life. And he says there in the passage in verse 6, "As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain covers it with pools." Even in the midst of difficulty, God brings a rain and pools form. Even in the dry, barren valley of Baca, the rain covers it with pools. In other words, God will bless in difficulties. And young people, you'll have difficulties. Congregation, we know that we will have difficulties. But as we as we hang out with the people of God in the New Testament church, God's people in worship, God gives us strength as we move forward because we learn lessons from the valleys that we're all in together, and God uses us to share those victories with others. So, in difficulty, we worship the Lord, and we grow in our worship. So I want to encourage you that I want to say to our graduates and to everyone here, here's a tendency. When we come into a difficult part of life, we run from the fellowship of God's people. That's a mistake. Because it is the strength that we gather in the community of God that worships Him that allows us and gives us strength for the next time. In verse 7, they go from strength to strength, even though they have been in the valley of Baca. So they grow in their worship. So I encourage you graduates to continue your habit of worship with the people of God individually. Live in community with those who love you and those who love your Lord. So not only are we to long for worship, not only are we to grow in worship, but lastly, we are to be content in worship. Now, this is my favorite part of this psalm in verse 9. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. There's a little chorus we used to sing. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. And then he says this, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Sometimes the devil whispers to us and he says, you know, all this corporate worship and going to worship in my church family or even worshiping individually, you know, that's all old-fashioned stuff. That doesn't really communicate. That doesn't really work. That doesn't really make a difference. And so Satan has a plan to kind of derail your worship life. This third principle here is to be content in worship, because everything you really want in life, you're going to find when you live your life for Jesus Christ. The things you really desire, the things that really make a difference over a lifetime, are found in the life of a believer who longs and grows and is content in worship. Because satisfaction comes from the Lord. He says, better is one day than a thousand elsewhere. It would be better to just have one day worshiping the Lord with all of your heart than to have a thousand days in the center of Satan's will for your life. Dwelling apart from the people of God, dwelling apart in that relationship with the Lord. So somebody asked, well, why would you want to spend time pouring into lives? Why would you want to spend time in a family of believers pouring into lives when you could be doing your own thing? You could be going and doing what you want to do instead of taking on an assignment in the Lord's work and serving the Lord, perhaps being that doorkeeper. I thought about when I read that, I thought about our greeters. Today, I came in and was greeted by Eric Thompson at the back door with a smile on his face. And today, he happened to be the doorkeeper in the back door back here. And he handed me a bulletin and he greeted me, and it was a blessing. And I thought about our greeters when I thought about being a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. But you see, Satan tells you, oh, listen, that must be for if you don't have anything else to do. You know, get a job working in the church, you know. Have an assignment, have a volunteer position working in the church. But that doesn't really make an impact. That's what Satan whispers in your ear. But I'm here to say to you that the psalmist is saying, you know what, I've realized something. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in tents of the wicked. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and the Lord will give glory. So why would you spend time pouring into lives in a local church, in the community of God. I tell you why you do it, because it impacts eternity. It makes a difference outside of this life. You see, those who don't worship the Lord, those who see that as, they don't value that, they have this whole life, but folks, we go for eternity. You need to have an eternal perspective of your life. And the truth is, as you pour in to people's lives and as you minister, as you have that assignment in the Lord's work, it does impact eternity. I think about the people that it have impacted me. I think about those that came after me as a teenage boy, and they were all busy people. You know what I found out? People that serve the Lord are busy people. It's normally not people that don't have anything else to do. They've got plenty of other things they could be doing. But busy people realize the value of serving the Lord. And in my life, I had people year after year coming after me. I was lost. I didn't have Jesus in my life. And they kept on coming. They kept on encouraging. They kept on calling. They kept on praying. And finally, the time came when I heard the gospel and I gave my life to Christ. And it's a direct result of people whom you don't know. And many of them, I can't remember all their names. But I know one thing. The Lord knows who they are. The Lord knows who made an impact in that way. But the world throws everything your way. It throws the importance of amusement, the importance of money, the importance of power, the importance of fame. And the truth is, those things don't satisfy. I encourage you to continue to worship the Lord personally. I encourage you to long for that worship. Why? Because we serve a great God, and He's worthy of our worship. And I encourage you to worship the Lord corporately as well. The slightest contact with God in real heartfelt worship is better than the deepest involvement in sin. In verse 11 it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield." Sometimes you're a little cold. If you get out in the sun, you feel the warmth of the sun. This is the picture of the man who longs in worship, and he realizes that the sun is that warmth upon his face. "For the Lord is a sun and a shield for protection. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly." In verse 12 it says, "O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in You." Dr. Billy Graham preached for years and years and years. And he used to have a soloist that would sing right before he preached. Some of y'all will remember the name George Beverly Shea. George Beverly Shea used to sing a little song that is so powerful. And I was reminded of it thinking about these graduates. And here's what the words say, graduates and congregation. He said, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. Yes, I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand. I'd rather have Jesus than worldly applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name." And then the chorus goes, "Than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today." The world says, come after the amusements that it can offer. The world says, come after all the money you can get, because it's ultimately what's going to make you happy. Maybe some new relationship is the secret to life. Dr. Graham tells a story of a very wealthy man who invited him to his island. He owned an island. And this wealthy man brought Dr. Graham there, and they sat down for lunch, and the man said to Dr. Graham, he said, I'm the wealthiest man on this island. He said, I can take you out right now, and I can put you on a helicopter. We can go anywhere we want to go. I've got a corporate jet. I can go anywhere in the world I want to go. I can have anything I want. He said, but Dr. Graham, I've brought you here today because I'm the most miserable man in the world. And Dr. Graham, in his book on peace, spiritual peace, he writes that he and his wife Ruth tried to share with that man that Jesus was the only way. Jesus was the only thing that could give him true peace and contentment. Well, in the story, Dr. Graham says that we went back to this little cottage where we were, and there was a retired pastor who wanted to see us, and he said he came over. He had been a pastor for like 50 years, and he was retired, an elderly man, and he was so full of energy, although he was a very elderly fella, and he was taking care. He told the Grahams, he said, I'm taking care of my two invalid sisters. He said, man, it's a lot of work. But Dr. Graham described him. He said he was like a grasshopper just jumping around in their house, in the little cottage. And that man looked at Dr. Graham and Ruth Graham, and he said, I just want you to know, boy, it's tough sometimes, but he said, I'm the happiest man on this island. He didn't have 2 pounds to his name, he said, 2 English pounds. When the man left, Ruth said to Billy, I wonder who is the richest man on this island. And then Dr. Graham says, we both knew the answer. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in tents, the tents of evil, all the days of our life. Now, graduates, you have been raised by parents who have told you, live for Jesus, go with God. Congregation, we've learned that. We're trying to learn that. We're trying to understand that. But these pilgrimage psalms, there was one guy one time who he lived his youth life, then he became a young adult, then he became a middle-aged man. And all of a sudden, he got up. The Lord just woke him up, and he got up. And the scholars think he just came out of his house, and he could see Jerusalem. And he looked at it, and he said, wow, that's the house of God. That's the presence of God. He said, whoa, I've almost missed it. I'm a middle-aged man. I've almost missed it. And he turned his life back over to Jesus Christ. Can I say this to you? You guys are at a crossroads right now. You're headed off to college. You're headed off to your future. Satan is going to nip at your heels to try to get you to turn away from the things that you've learned. Now, congregation, am I right about that? Yeah, because we've lived it, many of us. How many people live their whole entire life, and towards the end of it, they realize, wait a minute. I've climbed the ladder of success. As Ravi Zacharias says it, I've climbed the ladder of success, and I realized it was leaning against the wrong wall. He goes on to say that the loneliest moment in life is finally getting what you thought would deliver the ultimate, and you find it wanting. But you don't have to wait till you're middle-aged or older to realize that the very tail end of your life to turn your life over to Christ. You can do it now. And I can tell you right now, if we had time, I could call for it in this congregation, and we'd have dozens of people that would raise their hand and stand up and say, the Word of God's true. I know I've lived it. I've made mistakes, and every time I went against the Lord, it cost me. But every time I went with Christ, it was the way to go. So you're at that crossroads, but I just want to say this to you. The doorkeepers of the church, the doorkeepers of the kingdom of God who pour into people's lives, one day they'll go to heaven and they'll be greeted by the Lord, and he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of thy Lord. And then I believe the Lord will help them to see those they've influenced for Jesus and the impact that they have made. Keep hanging out with the people of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.